And a pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shook Me Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Saturday afternoon as we're coming to you live from the WMFO studios in Medford, Massachusetts. The number to call in, as always, is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. I figured that today would be a great day to come in and do a show. I've been out all week, and for good reason. Because I have been spending a lot of time at the Garden preparing the building for NBA Finals Games 3 and 4, which just ended last night, Game 4. That is specifically with the Celtics falling to the Golden State Warriors, 107-97. So, today, I figured day off, nothing going, and after all, a perfect day to absolutely talk about my thoughts on the NBA Finals, the week that has been, and as well as where we currently are in this best of seven series. So, last night, how am I feeling? I'm feeling great going into Game 4 last night. The crowd outside the Garden, absolutely electric, outstanding, terrific crowd as always. I mean, no surprise, there's lines going around the block trying to get into these bars to watch the game and these watch parties. And, of course, the bars are like charging like a covered fee, like a $10 cover fee or whatever. No surprise. Considering, if you were here during the 2019 Stanley Cup Final run for the Boston Bruins, pretty much a very similar thing. They know they're going to be gathering, you know, a large amount of people into these places. So they figured, hey, you know what? Pay $10 just to get in so that they can make a quick buck and whatnot. No big deal. And walking around, I just got the sense that the city is absolutely fired up. It's Friday night. We're hopeful for a Celtics win. And at one point, it looked like it was actually going to happen. Until it did not happen. And that's exactly where we're going to start the show, as I'm here with you live until 7 o'clock. I'm only here for an hour today to, you know, knock off the cobwebs, as I have not been on the air in, I would say, a little more than a week. Yeah, a little more than a week. But it's the NBA Finals, and for the first time in the history of the Shook Me Right Show, right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, which goes back now almost exactly three years, which the anniversary is coming up on July 6th of next month. We're talking about the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals. We're talking about a Boston sports team playing in the championship round. Special times call for special circumstances, which calls for special occasions. This is one of them. Now, if I'm going to be honest with you, I'm pissed off about the Celtics right about now. I figured that this opening segment would be a perfect avenue for me to really express my frustrations as to why I'm feeling rather pissed off with this team right about now. You see, in life, you are given opportunities to take that next step forward in your growth and your maturation and showing the world, but more importantly, yourself, what you're capable of. Unfortunately, sometimes the universe has to beat you in order to make sure that you've learned that lesson. The Boston Celtics are the proverbial teenager that is still going through growing pains, having to repeat the same lessons that they have not learned over and over again. The Celtics, going into last night, they were up 2-1 in the series. They have a golden opportunity at TD Garden to extend that series lead to 3-1 and potentially, just maybe, clinch the NBA championship, their 18th, which would be their 18th in their franchise history, most in NBA history, out in San Francisco. But last night, things were looking real good until things fell apart in the final 7 minutes and 36 seconds. And let me tell you something. Let me start off by saying this. If the Celtics lose this series, whether if it's in six or if it's in seven, I'm going to go back and look at specifically game four with 7 minutes and 36 seconds remaining. You're leading by five, and you got Golden State reeling. Steph Curry, at this point, he's having a tremendous game. He's been having a terrific series, by and large part. Right now, if I'm going to be honest with you, if the series ended next week Thursday and the Warriors won the NBA Finals, Steph Curry's the NBA MVP. No question. That's how good he's been. But going back to the Celtics, you're up by five. You started the game aggressive. It was a pretty close game. It was. A very well refereed game. A very well played game on both sides. The Celtics get a lead, and that's where problems begin. This is exactly what happened, and as it pertains to the final sequence of last night's game four of the NBA Finals. In the last several minutes, this is what the possessions have looked like for the Boston Celtics. And this is part of the reason why this is so freaking grotesque and so maddening. I mean, it's just bad. It was absolutely bad. So this is what happened. Celtics are leading 91-85 with 7 minutes and 32 seconds to go. So these are the last several possessions that the Celtics had. Tatum with the 22-foot shot, miss. Tatum attempts the layup, and he misses that one. Marcus Smart attempts a layup and misses that one. The following Celtics possession, Smart pulls up, shoots a three, makes it. Celtics are now leading 94-90 with 5:18 remaining in the fourth quarter. The next possession, Jaylen Brown, he attempts to shoot a 12-foot mid-range shot. He misses. Jaylen Brown, 25-foot shot, misses that one. Tatum, 27-foot shot, misses that one. Marcus Smart, 25-foot shot, misses that one. Marcus Smart shoots it again, 27-foot shot, misses that one. Al Horford shoots a 27-foot shot, misses that one. Al Horford shoots the three, makes it. It's now 100-97 with a minute 32 remaining. Jaylen Brown turns over the basketball, and Derek White misses a 25-foot shot. All in all, to say that the Boston Celtics scored 6 points. Yes, exactly 6 points in 7 minutes and 32 seconds left in the fourth quarter. That's it. That was your entire offense for the final 7.5 minutes of last night's game. And when you're going up against Golden State, you cannot. I mean, you absolutely cannot afford to go into these dry offensive spells. And this is something that the Boston Celtics have done one way too many times. And that's problematic. I'm pissed off as a Celtics fan because whenever it seems as if that the Celtics are ahead, they seemingly take their foot off the pedal. And last night was another example of such. You're up by six. 7.5 minutes remaining. You can't close out the deal. And if you haven't been paying attention up until now, this is part of a very disturbing trend for the Boston Celtics. They did this during the Milwaukee series. They did this against Miami. And they're doing it again in the NBA Finals against a team with championship pedigree and experience. That doesn't fly. That doesn't work. How many times are you going to shoot yourself in the foot before that one bullet strikes and it's the one that kills you? All it takes is one. That's all it takes. That's why I'm going to put this out there openly for the first time during these NBA Finals. I am genuinely worried and concerned that last night's game four was 7 minutes and 32 seconds. That final stretch may have been the stretch that finally awoken the beast. See, here's the thing. If you are a diehard sports fan, you are a firm believer that all it takes is just that one stretch of time and you finally get that candle lit and you awaken the beast and off you go. For me, there's one example that comes to mind as I say this. There's none more greater in sports in terms of a seven-game series to determine a championship for a league of this very point that I'm making than the 2011 World Series. If you're too young to remember, I'm going to give you a quick refresher. But for those that are my age and older, you know exactly what I'm about to talk about. Let's revisit the ill-fated events of Game 6 real quick. The Texas Rangers are up by 2 runs. They're up 7-5 over the St. Louis Cardinals. They are down to their last strike. Literally, 2 outs, 2 runners on. Neftali Feliz is on the mound. He's got 1 strike left to get against David Freese. Many people are thinking this is over. World Series over. The Texas Rangers are the World Series champions. Not so fast. The next pitch, David Freese hits the 2-run triple so hard that it goes over the head of Nelson Cruz and it counts off the right field wall. Freese ends up at third. It's 7-7. And then we all remember Josh Hamilton. He hits the 2-run homer in the top of the 10th. Cardinals come back to tie it at the bottom of the 10th. Again with 2 strikes. And then David Freese cements his name in World Series lore in the bottom of the 10th with the walk-off home run in which Joe Buck, formerly of Fox Sports, famously says, "We will see you tomorrow night," echoing the legendary call that his father, the late Jack Buck, had in Game 6 of the 1991 World Series. And we all know the rest is history. This is what Game 4 was for the Boston Celtics last night. You're up by 6 with 7.5 minutes remaining. And you couldn't put this team away. Now, was it officially an elimination game for the Warriors? No. But every single person that I spoke to, and I held this belief yesterday going into Game 4, believed that this was actually an elimination game unofficially for the Golden State Warriors. Why? Because had they lost last night, this series wasn't coming back to Boston. I strongly believe that. And that's not to discredit the Golden State Warriors and all of their experience that they have playing in the NBA Finals since 2015. But they were pretty rattled playing at TD Garden. They were mentally rattled. They were phased. Draymond Green most notably was phased, especially the way that the crowd booed him relentlessly. But this series wasn't coming back to Boston. Now, the Warriors tie up the series. Steph Curry has a historic night at TD Garden. And you know what? The Warriors have new life now. The Celtics, as we speak, are on their way to San Francisco. Maybe they've landed already, but last time I checked a few hours ago, they were on their way to San Francisco. Maybe they've landed, but we'll see. Now, it's a best of three. Now, the Celtics have to come out and respond in Game 5, which will be on Monday night. That is something that now the Boston Celtics are going to have to contend with. We've seen that this team can win on the road. They are by far a better team on the road than they are at home during this playoffs. But the difference is that they didn't have to play Golden State until now. So if you have thoughts on Game 4 of the NBA Finals last night, you can call into the show. If you're listening live, call in 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is I'm going to call in. We are going to take a music break. But coming up next, there is something that bothers me deeply about what happened in Game 4. And it wasn't necessarily just on the court. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is coming up next on the other side of this music break here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
I hear the crystal raindrops fall on the window down the hall, and it becomes the morning dew. And darling, when the morning comes and I see the morning sun, I wanna be the one with you. Just the two of us.
Welcome back to the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Is the number to call in as I'm here with you live until 7 o'clock, only a one-hour show today. Monday, I will be back in the regular scheduled slot from 5 p.m. until 7 p.m. previewing Game 5 of the NBA Finals as the Boston Celtics are currently in the chase for their 18th NBA title, which would break the all-time tie with the Los Angeles Lakers with 17. So Monday's going to be a pretty big day because it's going to be a pivotal game in the series. Now, with the series being tied at 2-2, the question will now beckon, will the Boston Celtics or the Golden State Warriors come back to Boston for Game 6, which is next week Thursday, one win away from an NBA title? I'm hoping that it'll be the Boston Celtics that'll come back to Boston 3-2 with an opportunity to wrap it up at home in Game 6. But that remains to be seen. But as of right now, we still got another 48 hours until Game 5. So for now, we're going to talk about Game 4. We're going to talk about the current state of the Boston Celtics and why there was something that I saw in last night's game that didn't sit right with me whatsoever. And I think that we need to have an open, honest conversation about this. And number one, I looked at the Celtics last night during the game, and there was a few things that really stood out to me. One of them in which was, when the Celtics drive the ball in the lane, they create opportunities to get to the free throw line. And the Boston Celtics struggled from the free throw line last night. And it bothers me tremendously because, one, You have to make those free throws. They're so important, especially against an offensively explosive team in the Golden State Warriors. You have to make your free throws. That's number one. Number two, there's no excuse. No excuse for Smart or for Tatum or for Brown or for any of you guys to be struggling from the free throw line. Zero. You need your free throws. You got to make them. And then going back to the original topic of conversation, things that really stood out to me that bothered me greatly, the first one is not making their free throws. And then number two, and I want to spend a little bit of time on this in particular. For the life of me, can you explain to me why do the Celtics have this thing where once they get out to a lead, they just start chucking up threes like they're going out of style? Like, can you honestly explain that to me? Like, at one point, I'm literally muttering to myself during game four, saying to myself, can you please attack the rim? Please attack the rim. Stop settling for these three-pointers. Because this has been like a disease that they've had throughout this entire playoff run. Literally, they love to chuck up three-pointers and think that they're Golden State, and it's like, you're not. Stop chucking up threes and attack the rim. And the moment that they started doing that, they started chucking up the threes, that's when the offense went cold. That's when it went cold. Because for some reason, which I cannot understand for the life of me, they have this thing where, our game plan isn't working or is working. Man, we got to shoot threes, man. We got to shoot the three. And I hate that. And I wonder, is that a byproduct of Golden State, specifically Steph Curry? Is that a byproduct of him changing the game where guys, especially specifically the Boston Celtics, they don't want to drive in the lane, drive towards the hoop and lay it in? They just want to be that guy who we can shoot the three-pointer from downtown at a 40% rate or higher. That's what I wonder. Because if anything, at one point late in the fourth quarter last night, I literally told my friend Chris, who I was watching the game with, that Marcus Smart is basically almost, in a way, going to lose his game for the Boston Celtics. He's going to shoot his way to his loss. And as I talked about during the first segment, that sequence in the final 7.5 minutes of the fourth quarter, it wasn't all Smart. You had Tatum. You had Brown, who struggled offensively. And for some reason, as I try to really just organize my thoughts here, and I noticed this with specifically Tatum, he's not right. And then he's settling for these three-pointers a bit more too much. And the thing that I looked at from last night and I realized that it was most particularly damning is the fact that after getting off to that good start, because he did start out well offensively, at one point he had, 12 points in the first half? Played well in the first half. But then that third quarter, that fourth quarter, disappeared. Which now takes me into point number three. The disappearing act. You need your stars to be stars. You see, you know what's funny the other night where Jason Tatum talked about this after game three, how he was talking about how I never tweeted that out. I never said that I was a superstar. You guys did. One of you guys did. Okay. You don't think of yourself as a superstar. Fine. You think of yourself as a star. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're a damn good player, you should have that kind of confidence. And I'd be surprised if you didn't. But you should. But what do stars do? They show up in the biggest moments. They show up when it's crunch time. They show up when it matters most. And Jason Tatum, again, disappeared in the fourth quarter. I don't know if it's age or being new to the spotlight in the NBA Finals, but when the Celtics went cold offensively in the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, I was looking at Tatum like, dude, you could take over the game now. And for Jaylen Brown, who I also got to rip him a little bit. Jaylen Brown, during these playoffs, has been missed the fourth quarter. He has. But for reasons that I cannot understand for the life of me, last night, he also struggled offensively. And I wondered, what's going on here? It seemed like outside of those 2 3-pointers that were made, nothing was working. Nothing was doing. And that's why, if you're a Celtics fan today, yes, this team has shown a tremendous amount of resolve. Yes, this team has bounced back from being down in series after bad losses throughout this entire playoffs. Yes, they have not lost more than 2 games in a row in about 3 months now. Yes, but with all of that being said, the Boston Celtics have questions that they have to answer going into Game 5. Because now, it's the best of three. Who wants it more? Who wants it bad? And I wonder, if Tatum and Brown want it as bad as they say that they want it, when the hell are they going to finally show up in the fourth quarter? And I'm talking specifically about Tatum here, not Brown. When is Jason Tatum going to show up in the fourth quarter? That's what I would love to know. Because if the Celtics are going to win the title, they cannot afford Jason Tatum to go on these cold spells in the fourth quarter of all times in the game. It's not going to work. Not when you got Steph Curry on the floor, when you got Draymond Green on the floor, when you got Kevin Looney on the floor, not when you got Klay Thompson on the floor. Not when you got shooters from Golden State, including Andrew Wiggins as well, last night. Not when you got shooters on the floor like that. You cannot afford to go cold. And they did. So my point stands. My question stands. At what point do you say to Tatum and Brown and to the entire team, stop freaking shooting these three-pointers and settling for these three-pointers? If you want to shoot it as part of your game, sure. But when you go away from the entire game plan in itself, that's where you run into trouble. Because I hate to break it to the Celtics, you're not out shooting the three-pointer. You're not out shooting Golden State from three-point range. You're not. It's not going to happen. When are the Boston Celtics at their best? Here's when. When they're attacking the rim, creating contact, going to the free throw line, and as well as when Jaylen Brown and Tatum actually show up in the fourth quarter. That's when they are at their best. Because, man, going into Game 5, this is the first time where I'm really am concerned for just the lapses that the Boston Celtics have, and this is not the time to have them. And I tweeted this out last night where I said, if there's one thing that I truly despise, and even Jaylen Brown admitted it just a few days ago, but the one characteristic that I absolutely despise about this year's Boston Celtics team, especially during this playoff run, is that they absolutely never make it easy on themselves. Never. Ever. Go look at the last two series alone. Milwaukee, they're down 2-1. Al Horford comes to the rescue. They drop an absolute clunker at home. Game 3 against Miami. They respond in Game 4. And I tell you what. I also want to bring up point number 4. And that is the lack of killer instinct. The lack of killer instinct is what ultimately is going to decide the series. I'm serious. And if you're listening, you're probably wondering, I don't think that's the thing that's going to determine the series. Let me tell you why I think it is. As much as we can talk about the importance of the health of Robert Williams III, his knee, and so forth, and as well as the health of Steph Curry and whatnot. If there's one thing that I do know already that is a fact, the Boston Celtics, they only show their killer instinct when their backs are up against the wall. Good and not good. Good because we've seen it that this team has a heart of a lion. They love pressure. And they play well when their backs are up against the wall under the highest of pressure. But this is their first time as a group in the NBA Finals. So we're seeing what this team is truly made of. And then also, the other point that I also want to bring up as pertains to this, Golden State across the court, they have that killer instinct. When they smell blood, they take it. With the exception of game one, the Warriors have shown me that they have that killer instinct. When they smell blood in the water, they're attacking and they don't let go. And that's part of the reason why I look at the Celtics right now with the next two out of the three games in San Francisco, game seven if necessary, with a little bit of trepidation. Because this isn't the Miami Heat or the Milwaukee Bucks or the Brooklyn Nets we're talking about. This is a team that has been there and done that. And you have literally given the games away that you've lost. Game two, turnovers. You've gave that game away. And then last night in game four, you gave the game up yet again with the turnovers. The Celtics are 2-14 when they have more than 14 turnovers in the game. Not good. That is losing basketball. That's a recipe for disaster, if you ask me. Well, disaster did strike last night at TD Garden. You're up by 6 with 7.5 minutes remaining, and you couldn't even close the deal. If you got any thoughts, you can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. As we are going to take another music break, as we are going to be live here until 7 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Coming up next, what in the world have the Boston Bruins done with themselves? Because I haven't been on the air at all this week, and I'm at a point where I need to really get some stuff off my chest as pertains to the Boston Bruins. That and much more coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show. With Shukri Wright, you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
To some people, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much. But that's not necessarily true. By 6 months, they're combining vowels and consonants. By 9 months, they're trying out different kinds of sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on some meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Early screening and intervention can make a lifetime of difference and unlock a world of possibilities. Take the first step at AutismSpeaks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Think fast. In the short time it takes to listen to this message, a small flame can turn into a big fire. Several minutes more, and thick, poisonous smoke may have filled your lungs and reduced your ability to respond. Give it 5, and your entire home may be filled with flames.
Keep breathing. We've got you.
Don't let your world go up in smoke. Have working smoke alarms and keep heaters 3 feet away from anything that can burn. Learn more at usfa.fema.gov, because fire is everyone's fight.
federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
It's all based off of love. And love isn't do this for me and I'm going to do this for you. That's not what love is. Love is just I'm going to do this for you because I want to do this for you.
For all the times that you rain on my parade, and all the clubs you get in using my name, you think you broke my heart, oh girl, for goodness sake. You think I'm crying on my own, well I ain't. And I didn't wanna write a song, cause I didn't want anyone thinking I still care or don't, but you still hit my phone up. And baby, I'll be moving on. And I think it should be something I don't wanna hold back. Maybe you should know that my mama don't like you and she likes everyone. And I never liked to admit that I was wrong. And I've been so caught up in my job, didn't see what's going on, but now I know. I'm better sleeping on my own. Cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself. When you told me that you hated my friends, the only problem was with you and not them. And every time you told me my opinion was wrong, and tried to make me forget where I came from. And I didn't wanna write a song, cause I didn't want anyone thinking I still care or don't, but you still hit my phone up. And baby, I'll be moving on. And I think it should be something I don't wanna hold back. Maybe you should know that my mama don't like you and she likes everyone. And I never liked to admit that I was wrong. And I've been so caught up in my job, didn't see what's going on, but now I know. I'm better sleeping on my own. Cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself. For all the times that you made me feel small, I fell in love, now I feel nothing at all. I never felt so low when I was vulnerable. Was I a fool to let you break down my walls? Cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself. Cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself.
Welcome back to the Sugar Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. This is the number to call in to the show as we're here for roughly just less than 10 minutes. And it's been tremendous to be back here on this radio program and on the radio station, as well as I hope you are all enjoying your Saturday. I know someone just left just a moment ago to go to a barbecue. And, I mean, it's a perfect day to go for barbecue. I mean, the weather is perfect. It's not too hot. It's not chilly. It's perfect. As we are now approaching the middle of June this week. So, here we are in the middle of June, and we are talking about the Boston Bruins. They are in the Boston Celtics, but we're talking about the Boston Celtics for a good reason. Boston Bruins in mid-June can't be good unless you're playing for the Stanley Cup. And that's not the case with this Boston Bruins organization right now, as they, this past week, fired their head coach, Bruce Cassidy. And, man, listen, when I tell you that news really shocked me and angered me a great deal. And for those of you that aren't following me on Twitter, follow me at Shukri Writes. I did a Twitter live stream where I absolutely lost it. I lost it. And here's the thing. I lost it because everything that I had feared and that I was concerned about in regards to the Boston Bruins came to fruition Monday night. It did. Monday night was officially the end of an era for Boston Bruins hockey. It was the end of a Stanley Cup contending window. Officially shut now. It's done. And what bothered me the most when it comes to what happened on Monday night, when the news broke about Bruce Cassidy's firing as head coach of the Boston Bruins, is that Bruce Cassidy was made the scapegoat for a situation that he had absolutely zero control over. And frankly, I honestly saw this coming. Because from the time in which that the Boston Bruins had their final media coverage to wrap up the season at the conclusion of their first round series loss to the Carolina Hurricanes, and Cam Neely came out and said that we have to evaluate how coach does his coaching and so forth, yada yada yada, I knew then that Bruce Cassidy was basically going to be blamed. He was going to be scrutinized. And I was pissed off then. I was pissed off because the man literally got more out of this team and this roster the last four seasons than what most head coaches would be able to get out of. Why? Because of poor roster construction and poor drafting by Don Sweeney. And here's the thing. The questions have surfaced about Don Sweeney's contract extension. Cam Neely made it very clear that Don Sweeney was going to be brought back. He did. He said that the contract was going to be under works, and that he will be back. He will be retained as the general manager of the Boston Bruins. But here we are on June 11th. There has been no news at all in regards to a possible extension for Don Sweeney. Yet, Bruce Cassidy got the axe. Why? Bruce Cassidy didn't draft poorly in 2015. Bruce Cassidy did not give out bad contracts to, let's see, David Backes or Linus Ullmark or Jimmy Hayes or Matt Beleski. That wasn't Bruce Cassidy's doing. And I know I mentioned Matt Beleski and the late Jimmy Hayes. That was under the Claude Julien regime when he was head coach of the Boston Bruins. But I'm talking specifically the moves that have not worked out the way that Don Sweeney had hoped. And it failed. Here's the thing that makes me sick when I think about it even more. What makes me sick is the fact that the Boston Bruins have allowed Don Sweeney to practically run the organization to the ground. And meanwhile, you fired arguably the best head coach that the Bruins could have and asked for, given the circumstances, knowing that the Boston Bruins were going to be faced with some very difficult decisions this summer prior to the announcement of what was going to be the fate of their head coach. It didn't make a difference in the end. In the end, Neely and Sweeney, those two crones, those two crows, those two spineless bastards absolutely did not care for how it would make them look. They wanted to save their job. Congratulations. They saved their jobs. And in the process, angered a fan base that absolutely knew what's what and certainly will have no qualms and letting the general manager and the team president know how they really feel. And as of right now, the start of the 2022-23 season does not look bleak at all. Does not look bright at all. It's very bleak. Marchand and McAvoy, according to a report from TSN a few days ago, they're not expected back until January of next year. And that is at their earliest. So, yeah, I wonder, what do the Boston Bruins do going into this offseason? Because we're still not in the offseason just yet in terms of free agency, et cetera, or the NHL draft. The NHL still has the Stanley Cup Finals to complete. And if the Tampa Bay Lightning actually win tonight and beat the New York Rangers in Game 6, the Stanley Cup Finals will begin on Wednesday. If not, if it goes to a Game 7, it will start next week Saturday. Either way, it's starting Game 1 in Colorado. But this is a very bleak time for the Boston Bruins organization. And still, as of right now, Patrice Bergeron has not announced his decision as to whether if he is going to retire or if he's going to come back to the Bruins. Heck, even choose to just leave altogether and go play elsewhere. We don't know. But I do know this. The organization and its future and its immediate future, it really is hanging in the balance based on Bergeron's decision to stay or go. So with that being said, it's about to be 6:58 p.m. Eastern time. I am going to wrap up the show now. And I simply want to say thank you to all who have taken the time to tune into the program this afternoon. I have certainly had a blast with you. I'll be back on Monday, God willing, at my regularly scheduled time to preview Game 5 of the NBA Finals between the Celtics at Warriors. That game will be at 9 p.m. Eastern time on ABC as the Celtics hope to move one game closer to their 18th NBA title. So Monday, we'll be previewing Game 5 of the NBA Finals. So tune in for that beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern time right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright signing off. It's been a blast being here with you today. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Street Farm Radio. I'll talk to you again on Monday.
Pretty sure that I already know how.